Melanin and Me, exploring the Black woman's experiences in Britain. Hey lovely ladies, welcome back to Melanin and Me. Before we dive into today's episode, we want to remind you how you can stay up to date with our latest content. We release episodes every other Thursday, so make sure to subscribe to Melanin and Me on your preferred podcast platform so that you don't miss out on any episodes. You can also follow our inspiring content on social media by searching melanin_and_me on Instagram, or find us on Facebook at Melanin and Me UK. If you felt empowered or motivated from any of our episodes, we love to hear it. So feel free to contact us by emailing melaninandme@yahoo.com or slide on in the DMs on our social accounts. Don't forget to share some love, drop us a review, and share with any of your fellow queens who might be uplifted by tuning into Melanin and Me. For now, enjoy today's episode. Hello, lovely ladies, and welcome back to another episode of Melanin and Me. Now, usually I feel like I would be saying, and today we have an amazing guest with us today, which we do, but you're not a guest because it's you, right? It's just me and you.
I'm still amazing though. I'm sad that you didn't want to put that part in.
Well, of course. I mean, I wouldn't even use amazing. It would have to be a better word than that. But oh my God, when was the last time we did an episode just me and you?
Oh, it's been a hot minute. We've had these amazing guests and we've not even had time, had a chance to just do our little old back to the old school.
Literally throwing it back.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
To be honest, we can't complain because we have had some incredible women on. We've had some great conversations about just learning about so many different things. But one thing we have said for a while is we were going to do this episode because not only does it come up in pretty much every one of our conversations together, but it's just, I think it's going to be, I'm excited to dive into this one.
Yeah, me too. When you first suggested it, I was like, oh, not sure how that's going to go down. But now we've like spoke about it and I know sort of like, the big idea, the end goal, I'm like, oh, maybe. So not to keep everybody suspended, is that the word?
Well, maybe that slides us right in.
Yeah, the suspense is killing everyone, so we better just tell us what it's all about.
All right, we will. So today I'm going to be doing a little bit of an interview with Ray to talk about life when having English as your second language. So we know that this incredible woman is bilingual. I'm going to say that, but I also feel like you can probably speak more than two languages.
Two is like strong two, and then the others are like little. Well, I say the others, it's just, so I speak English, English. No, I don't. Swahili is my mother. Swahili is my mother tongue, and that was the language I speak at home. And then I speak obviously English, and then a little bit of Arabic. So that comes from like going back home and seeing family in like Oman. And then obviously when we read the Quran as well.
Yeah,
I'm getting a little bit better at that, but that would be like a 2 out of 10, whereas Swahili that's 10 out of 10, and then English would probably be like, I don't know, a 7 or 8 out of 10.
I'd give you a solid 8 for English. Like, so your other ones are like, you could probably do with a bit more Duolingo sort of prep.
Yeah,
for Arabic.
Yeah, definitely.
Nice. Well, guess what? I can only speak English. So, you know, like the thought of even speaking another language, I think I got like a C in Spanish at GCSE. And I don't even know how I scraped that, to be honest. It was made probably because there was I was so intrigued by the Spanish food or something. The tapas. It's probably the tapas that got me the C.
We never did language at our school. Well, we did it in 2 year 9. And then after that, you didn't have to choose it. And I was like, I'm out. But funnily enough, my best friend, Grace, she speaks French at home because she's Congolese. And I think they were colonized by the French. So she speaks fluent French. And she did French GCSE, did no revision or anything. And she got an A star. I was like, what? Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
No, that's a that's a different kind of intelligence. That is, yeah. I don't know. So let's take it back. Let's strip it back to baby Ray. Okay, so tell me about growing up. What was most natural to you when you were growing up in terms of language? So in your household, everything. Just tell me about kind of what that was like for you when you were little.
Yeah, so growing up, obviously, in Zanzibar, the first language you get introduced to is Swahili. So with family, with grandma, obviously my grandma doesn't speak any English. And even if we go back today and you start chatting to her in English, she'll be like, are you swearing at me? I'm like, no, why would I do that? But yeah, Swahili was obviously the first language that was spoken in and around the house, like when you're out. And then obviously I transitioned over to England. And then when I got to England, started to learn some English. So there was like English words that you learn at school, but it was literally like apple or like a wall, a ball. So it wasn't anything substantial. I don't feel like I could have put a sentence together.
Before. And like just like random things that you're not actually just going to say to somebody like, hey, mate, apple. Like, yeah. You're not just going to say that, are you?
Yeah, exactly. But then made that transition to Nottingham. And then obviously people speak English in Nottingham, but it's like a different dialect. So you get people saying, I up me duck. And I'm like, whoa, what are they talking about? But as the time goes on, you start learning as well. So yeah.
Yeah.
Part and parcel of being from Nottingham. Shout out my Nottingham massives. Whoop, whoop.
And that is definitely, I feel like that's a Midlands thing as well. Because I actually remember when I'd moved to Loughborough for uni, there was, I had to like organize the basketball social event or something. And I was texting one of the venue owners and they used duck in the text. And I was so confused. I was like, why is he calling me a duck? Like, I'm so confused. And I just genuinely had no awareness that that was just a general reference. We call each other that all the time, don't we? We're just like, hey up duck. But actually, I can imagine that for me was just very random. But as somebody who English isn't your first language, actually having to also come to terms with the fact that in the UK, there are so many different dialects, so many different phrases and terms. And so how do you kind of just as you go, just discover new things? Like, that must be really challenging.
It is, you know, like I'm up in Manchester now and these man, half of the time when they talk to me, I have to really concentrate because otherwise I miss what they're talking about. So, for example, like kids at school who are like born and bred in Manchester, they've got their own little quirks and their own little dialects and their own little words. And sometimes I'm like, what are you talking about? Please make it simpler. But they're really good with that. They would like be like, oh, miss, this is what we mean sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. That's good. So yeah. Do you feel as though you have, so kind of growing up, you kind of had that school and obviously you were learning as you were going. Do you feel like you had any additional support from any teaching staff or any family members, or is it literally like you were just winging it and learning as you went along?
It was literally immersion. Like, there was no like one-to-one. I don't remember having like any extra support or any extra help. It was literally like immersion, got thrown in the deep end and see how you get on. And I even remember like in the classroom, especially in like the earlier days, I'd be there, a teacher would ask a question. I know the answer, but I wouldn't want to answer because of my accent, and kids are just mean, man. If you don't know English, kids are horrible. They just take the mick all the time. So for the first year, especially for the most part, I just sat back and observed. And then even I remember there was things that I'd say and everybody would laugh and I'm like, bro, like I'm trying, give me a bit of like, but it was part and parcel. I guess it made me who I am today. I'm not going to complain too much because it was a good experience to just being thrown in the deep end. And yeah, I mean, the teachers were supportive, but it's not like, you know, now, like, I'm a teacher.
Yeah.
No.
What? Are you a teacher? What?
Yeah, when you get, like, a new child who doesn't really speak English and EAL, they are EAL. So it's called EAL because English is a different language. They'll come in and then you have so many, like, interventions for them. They get extra English classes where they get one-to-one, and the setup and the support is actually incredible. Whereas I feel like back in the day, that setup wasn't necessarily there, or maybe it's the school that I was at, because they didn't really get many people who came from, like, different countries at that time anyway. And they didn't quite know how to deal with that. So maybe it's both, but it's definitely getting better. And I feel so much better when I see kids who have English as an additional language getting so much support, and you see them just excel. Within, like, a few months, you're able to have conversations with them, which is amazing.
I think, like, I know that there are specific groups in, so, like, when I was based in a couple of colleges in inner city Leicester, you know, there were specific EAL groups, and, you know, we hosted specific activities and stuff like that. So also it kind of made them feel part of a community within the college as well. And I think that having that support is so incredible, because it not only allows them to feel, you know, part of something, kind of feeling as though you have that, I guess, also a sounding board, because as you just said, there are challenges, like, kids can be mean, you know, you can be put into situations that you just wouldn't necessarily expect. So the support there is great. But I wonder, do you think that there could be anything more? Like, if you were to look at the teaching world now, and obviously you've highlighted the fact that, obviously, depending on the location of the school or college, how diverse the community is, you know, it's more likely probably that in inner cities where there are more diverse population of students, that that support's more accessible.
Yeah.
But do you think that there's something more that could be done potentially?
I guess it's just like ensuring that everybody understands where that young individual has come from and their sort of, like, background. So not only, you know, this kid, for example, is from Zanzibar, but you know what sort of, like, educational background they've come from. So that then, with certain things, especially things like maths, where numbers are universal, so that doesn't become an issue in terms of, like, counting and working out, like, equations and stuff like that. But with, like, the actual language and, like, day-to-day talk, like, day-to-day conversation with other peers or with teachers, it's all about understanding where that child or young person is coming from and ensuring that you're not triggering them. So I know we've got kids who are from really, really difficult backgrounds where they've been into, like, wars and stuff like that. So in a classroom, you'd want to support them extra if you know that background and if you know where they've come from, so you're not triggering them, for example, by laughing at them if they've got something wrong, and having those conversations in the classroom. I feel like that's really important. I'll tell you another thing as well. Like, I remember my primary school teacher and my little sister's primary school, because obviously my little sister was born here, and her head teacher was like to my parents, don't ever speak English at home, because she will pick up English as she goes to school. She needs to pick up her mother tongue at home. So that was really good, because whenever we came home, we just switched up and it was all Swahili. There was no English. But now we're all older, it's a bit like Swanglish, a bit of Swahili.
Oh, I love it. And that's amazing that the school recognized that and were like, actually, you know, because it is so easy, you know, when children and young people are at that age where they're like sponges, you know, they're such a product of their environment. So actually the fact that they've picked up on, you know, if you continue to speak your mother tongue at home, actually then she's more likely to be more fluent in both languages, which is fab. So yeah, just going back to your first point about context of background as well, critical, you know, if the teachers and also the peers, where relevant, are not aware of mm-hmm. that young person's background and the potential things they've been exposed to, mm-hmm. it makes that young person so much more vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And actually it makes, you know, and that doesn't, we're not, okay, we're talking about EAL students, particularly at this moment in time, but it's the same for anything. You know, if there's a child in the class who has potentially got a disability or who's just struggling at home or, you know, just got anything, it just makes it easier to be a bit more mindful of how mm-hmm. you can support that person, whether it be as a classmate or as a student. So do you think there's something you could pinpoint for yourself personally when you were at school or growing up that was kind of like, you would say, the biggest challenge or kind of moment that you found that it was really quite tricky?
I think for me personally, because I'm such like a chatterbox, you know, when conversations are going
yeah.
on, and you're like watching people have these conversations and you're like, I literally can't relate because I've no idea what you're talking about, but I really want to be in this conversation.
Oh.
Just got to sit on the sideline and be like, right, I'm off now. Just got to watch.
Oh,
but that's no. such an important element of the process, because as you're watching, you get to learn so much. Like you pick mm-hmm. up on social cues. So for example, in Zanzibar, whenever a teacher came into a room, you'd all stand up to show that respect. And mm-hmm. that's how I was brought up until year five. Now coming to England, little old me in the classroom, first week, every time a teacher comes in, I'm standing up. Everybody's thinking,
no, Ray. Oh my gosh, you're killing me. Oh.
So that was really, really funny. And it only took a week for me to stop that, because I was like, no one else is doing it. Why am I doing it?
Your teachers must have loved you though. They must have felt like, going back to the episode quote before, we're like, she's your queen. They're thinking that you're giving them that same royal entrance. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. So it's just things like that where you'd stand up and then to show that respect. What else? I'm trying to think back in the day, what else would happen? I think another one is not like knowing the answer to like the question, but not knowing mm. how to construct your sentence and how sure. to get your words out.
Mm. Yeah, because then it's like you're trying to put that all together, mm-hmm. which probably feels quite scrambled in your head. And
mm-hmm.
that must be so challenging, because it also affects the perception of everybody else on your intelligence level or your contribution level, when actually you could be sitting there like, man, I know the answer. You lot don't have a clue what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I know it, but I just don't feel that I can articulate it. And I would probably say I would put you in the extrovert category. Like you're mm-hmm. an extrovert. We did that personality test recently and you came yeah. out as an extrovert, right? So yeah, it's confirmed. So, but whereas before you, and growing up, maybe others perceived you as an introvert or kind of that person who's in their shell to themselves, keeping themselves quite reserved. But that's purely because, you know, you have that kind of element where you have a barrier, mm-hmm. which is language. And, you know, just going back to the point you said before about the observation,
mm-hmm.
amazing that you had the chance to step back, because actually I can imagine that that's probably made you really emotionally intelligent as you've grown older and wiser. Because, you know, what is the stat, like 70% or 80% of our communication is through body language. Mm-hmm. So, you know, where a lot of people still, you know, who are maybe in their 40s, 50s, 60s, mm-hmm. who can't read a room and realize when someone's feeling a certain way or yeah. picking up on facial expressions and gestures. You've had to do that
yeah.
as a child. So actually, you've gained 10 times more skills than a lot of people.
Yeah, it made me realize not every day chatty patty and sometimes just chill. So that was really
yeah.
good. Yeah. I also try, as well as that, like that experience, you know, now if I have like friends come over to my house and we're all there as a family and we're all chatting, and like try and make a conscious effort to be like, we're only speaking English. Even if somebody talks like speaks Swahili, I'd like call them out and be like, right, English please. So it's definitely made me more empathetic in those situations where conversations are going on.
That's so good as well, because again, it's another social skill, the empathy bit. Oh, I've got a quote. It's come to me, quote of the day. And I do actually love this one, because I think this is crucial for any situation of communication, is that we've got two ears and one mouth for a reason, mm-hmm. you know, to emphasize the fact that people should be listening and actively listening to somebody in front of them,
yeah.
rather than just trying to listen to respond. So,
yeah.
but just on your point about being in households. So I actually had a boyfriend when I was growing up, before I went to uni, and his family were from kind of Angola, Cape Verde. It was kind of a mix. And mm-hmm. they, when I used to go over there, they used to speak Portuguese
mm-hmm.
and oh my God, it used to make me feel so uncomfortable.
Mm.
So, so, so uncomfortable, because also with particular cultures as well, like we often say with Italians, it can often be, if you don't understand the language, yeah, it seems like they're always like frustrated at each other or angry at each other, but it's just the passion. It's just how their culture is set. And mm-hmm. I think with, when I used to go around there, it was kind of a similar scenario where I was thinking, oh my God, is something kicking off right now? Are they angry at me? And I would just get so paranoid, because, you know, people are making eye contact in the room or around a dinner table, and you have absolutely no idea what people are saying. And mm-hmm. you almost think, well, you know, you have the choice to speak English mm-hmm. right now, so therefore you're able to exclude me very quickly. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I'm like, you must be talking about me, even though there are far more better things to talk about.
Yeah. But now it's great. Like, just on that, sometimes when you don't want people to know what you're talking about, you can sneakily like put in a Swahili line in there and be like, okay, we can move on now. So it has its time and its place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good for those little Morse code like situations where you just want to drop a little one-liner in. But I think that the fact that you've even picked up on that and how it's made you feel excluded in a different situation,
mm-hmm.
knowing that actually if you're going to bring somebody back to your house or mm-hmm. whatever, you know, just to be mindful of it, I think it's great.
Yeah. Another thing as well is like, whenever I'm at the gym and it's like one last hard rep and I've got like five left, it's weird. I just turn into Swahili, and in my head, I'm counting in Swahili. It's so mad. It's baffling. My mind works weirdly. Like, when things get hard, automatically I revert back to Swahili. So sometimes it's I'll have internal thoughts and it will be like a mixture of English or Swahili. But then if it's like a hard conversation that I'm having with myself, it'll be like English, it'll be like Swahili, and I'm like calculating in Swahili. It's so mad. I don't know. I'm sure there's like a language in, like, I don't know, some study on language and how you
100%.
Yeah.
It must have some sort of association in your brain of like, this is for these situations, this is for X. And but it's crazy. And I think it's like, it's nice that you have the ability to switch up, and it's nice that you have the ability to communicate with different cultures and stuff. And I think that, you know, obviously English is what, one of, if not the most commonly spoke languages in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't claim to know stats like that, but I'm just going to throw that one out there because I feel fairly confident it's up there.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fact that you can then go to Zanzibar, you can then go and speak with your family. Like, I absolutely love it when, you know, we're together and your dad might call you or your mum might call you and you just crack it out, and I'm just like, I'm just in awe. I'm just like, oh yeah, I couldn't do that.
I remember being in Zambia as well, like some of the words are similar to like Swahili.
Mm.
So even though I didn't understand fully the conversation that was going on, I could pick up a few words here and there, and then I'd be able to like interpret it myself. And sometimes I'd come out and say, oh, you're talking about this, aren't you? And they'll be so shocked and surprised, like the team leader. They'll be like, what? How do you know that? Yeah.
You're like, I just know. Obviously, there's the phrases and the dialects thing, and I know, oh my gosh, I've got to share this first. One of my favorite moments in our conversation, it wasn't actually a podcast recording, it was just a conversation that we'd had, because we always joke about it anyway, don't we?
Yeah.
Was when we were talking about some foolishness, I can't remember what it was, and I was just like, oh, you asked me about Love Island. You were like, do you watch Love Island? And I went, is the Pope Catholic? And you went, I don't know, is he?
I was so confused.
You were so confused. And I was just like, oh, wait. And I was just like, no, this is like a phrase. And then we had a whole conversation about it. And then you tried to use it in context, but like use a different word. It was just pure gold. I absolutely loved it. But like those sorts of phrases and random things that you come across must be like, do you find that you're quite inquisitive and you ask a lot of people if you hear something kind of that for you seems a bit out of turn? Are you like, oh, you know, what does this mean? Or do you find that with you only do that with specific people? Or how do you kind of go about if you don't understand something, do you kind of go out of your way to ask, or are you a bit like, actually, do you know what?
I think it depends on context. I've had conversations at work and people have like said things a bit similar to the saying you said, and I've been like, what? Can you just explain that to me? And they sort of like look at me like, you should know the context of that because you're a British woman. And I'm like, whoa, let me just give you a bit of context. This was born in Zanzibar.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what you're talking about, so please explain. So I feel like at times I'm having to say that because people just assume it's just little things like references to like the Spice Girls, for example, like the era where I came to England, they weren't a thing anymore, I don't think. And I was never into them. So for example, some of the songs, I'm like, I don't know what they're talking about, but I know you love it and you're like all in for it.
Don't worry, there's over the course of our relationship, you're going to know all of the words to every single Spice Girls song. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
I can't let that one slide.
It's just some of the culture stuff that I miss, like some of the British culture and British TV that I can't quite relate to because I wasn't born here. And by the time I'd come here, that was no longer a thing. So I haven't got that point of reference, which is interesting.
In regards to kind of other areas of your life, so we've talked about kind of school and the support that you received and kind of your home life, if it were, but is there anything else that you feel like it's had a knock-on effect with? So I'm thinking, like, do you feel as though it's had an impact on kind of your writing, your confidence as well, like just anything else, just more generically, do you feel as though it's had some form of impact, either positive or negatively?
Yeah, I feel like more so with talking, I'd get some words wrong. Luckily, with writing, you've got autocorrect and you've got like grammar. Not to blow my own trumpet, but I was able to write 20,000 words for my master's. So, I feel like writing, I'm all right. It's just more so speaking that sometimes I struggle with certain words or certain pronunciations. And again, depending on context and who I'm with, I might come out and say it and we'll have a little giggle and it's a learning moment for me. But if I feel like it's not a safe space where I feel comfortable to say something, often I'd like shy away from that word, either changing it or trying to see how others pronounce it. One word I really, really struggle with is pedagogy. And I did struggle quite massively with it, especially in like at uni and stuff, because it's a word that's thrown about quite a bit in the teaching world. So at the beginning, I was like, what? Pedo?
Pedo who? Pedo what?
Pedo what? But now I've gotten comfortable with years like using it. I'm absolutely all right with that. Another one that my friend picked up on the other day was star fry. So I say star fry, but it's actually stir fry.
Star fry sounds cuter though. That sounds more fun.
She was
let's
like,
have a star fry. Why not?
Yeah. We were at a restaurant and I was like, she was like, oh, what are you going for? I was like, oh, I'll go for the star fry. And she looked at me so baffled, looked at the menu for like 10 minutes. And she was like, which one is
the star fry?
I was like, this one. And she was like, that's a stir fry, not star fry.
Oh.
Yeah. So that was
it good though? Just that interest?
No, the star fry was lovely. Absolutely.
Lovely jubbly. Lovely jubbly. Yeah. Oh, I love it. It's pretty incredible, to be honest. Like, and I think that we often talk about when there's a connotation to a Black woman, it's, you know, strong, independent, faces adversity, all of them things. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that's coming out for me with all of this, that it just highlights, as a woman who's been through, you've come to England in a time where actually you're not really sure what you're going to expect. You're quite vulnerable because you're a child. Just that resilience of actually being able to put yourself into those different environments where you are going to get some people who are really supportive, but you're also going to get those people who are just going to be mm-hmm. not very nice. Mm-hmm. So do you feel as though the whole process, reflecting back on your 28 years of life,
mm-hmm.
do you feel as though it's made you more resilient?
100%. Like, I specifically remember names of kids who just used to take the mick. I don't wish him bad or anything, but
tell us, drop a name.
That name drop? No, I'm not gonna name drop, because they might be,
I feel like there's a bar or something, like, oh, that bar, he was such an idiot or something.
I'm not gonna name drop because that's mean, but I feel like there's definitely people out there who are like just so horrible to the new kid. And like, looking back now, I pretty much take on that experience and literally go out of my way to make sure that new kids or new people that I meet, if they're not so comfortable with language, I try as much as I can to ensure that I am trying to make them comfortable. Because one thing that we do forget is that that person speaks a whole other language, and English is their second language. Whereas often those people that are laughing at people, all they know is English, which is fair enough, but bro, like, sis, try harder.
Yeah. And I know you're saying it in specific to young people who speak English as their second language, but I would say that you are just generally like that with everybody. You always are trying to make sure everyone feels comfortable. Like, obviously I came up and stayed with you in Manny to celebrate our 1 year anniversary. Episode will be coming out about it, don't worry.
Yeah, what a time to be alive.
But like, you know, it was me, you, Hannah and Lauren, you know, just a group of us friends together, and you're always checking in and just asking if, you know, you've got what you need, are you okay? And being honest, I genuinely don't feel as though that's like a common trait. And I do feel as though when people have been in situations where they've been in a room where nobody's put their needs first or considered their needs, it makes you more mindful, more open-minded, and more purposeful about checking in and making others feel comfortable. And I do think that it's maybe something that is underestimated, because it's such an important and beautiful trait to have, which you wholeheartedly have.
Oh, thanks for that.
Don't cry. I'm not going to give you any more compliments. You know, that's your one for the day. Done.
No, I hear that. I feel like it's something that I definitely have built through that language barrier and growing up and being it. But I guess the core of it comes from the culture and like seeing my parents do that at home. Like, whenever we had guests growing up, mom and dad will make sure, like, if your favorite meal, I don't know, if your favorite meal is pizza, they would go out of their way to make you pizza if you're at their house. So it's just something that I've picked up on, and maybe it does have some correlation with that language barrier I experienced. Maybe, I don't know. We'd have to like test that one out.
Yeah, got some sort of social experiment going on. So for listeners who maybe want to know how to, because there might be some listeners who are looking to learn a new language and become more fluent in a particular language. Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of people during lockdown were trying to Duolingo their way through it and learn a lot of different, you know, languages as they went. Either tips for people to learn, because you've talked about the immersion in the culture and what that did for you, but also for those who are maybe kind of the younger generation who are listening in, who are in the situation that you've been in, also tips for navigating your way through that.
Yeah, I mean, on your first point, I'd say is definitely when you're learning a new language, it's to be consistent with it. So I know there's like loads of different apps out there who set you like a reminder each day to be like, hey, pal, it's time to practice your whatever, your Spanish, your French, whatever it might be. So that's a really good way to keep at it. Secondly, I'd say for me personally, I found that saying things out loud on my own as well helped massively. So for example, if I'd gone to school and people laughed at me because I said a certain word wrong, I'd then go home and practice that word on my own. So I'd come like keep saying it, which is weird for some, but for me it worked. And that's
so how- like stir fry, stir fry, stir
yeah, basically stir fry. And then just over time, you pick it up. One is important to remember that you are an incredible human being for even speaking a second language and English being your additional language. That means you're fully, you know, a first language already. And that is so amazing. Like, do not lose your mother tongue. Do not lose that. And don't shy away from bullies or people who might be like, oh, you said that wrong. Yes, I said it wrong. Teach me how to say it right. And do put people in a spot where they're feeling a bit uncomfortable, because at the end of the day, you are trying to better yourself as a human and you're trying to fit into society which speaks English. And if you've got people laughing at you because of that, honestly, sometimes it's not worth your aggro. So you need to be a bit more vocal. Even though you're not feeling the most confident, try and be a bit more vocal in terms of pulling people up whenever they do take the mic.
Yeah. And it feels a little bit like, I know it's obviously a different topic, but it feels a little bit like the kind of anti-racism context of being brave about speaking out when something or somebody makes you feel uncomfortable, and being kind to yourself to decide when you are going to call it out, when you are just going to self-preserve and take yourself away from that situation or that environment or away from those people. And you know, like you said, just reminding yourself that you're so incredible, the fact that you can do what you can do, and just reminding yourself of that regularly.
I'm not gonna lie, there was a few tears. Like, some days you try and fit in and like it wouldn't work and people wouldn't just hear you or wouldn't see you, and you would go home and it would hurt. So it's not an easy process, but I guess it makes you a stronger individual, that perseverance and that persistence.
Yeah, and I think for you particularly, you're not only a woman of colour, you are a woman who also is a woman. Women have barriers in us themselves. We all struggle, you know, from being women, but also you have that additional barrier. So, you know, I can't even begin to imagine how like upsetting and hurtful that must have been during those times. But the fact that you persevered, you persisted, you found your tribe around you, you know, all of that stuff that just has made you blossom. I'm just about to compliment you again. Blossom into the beautiful woman that you are today. Look, women supporting women. This is what Melanin and Me is all about. So I have to give her, you know, raise her up a little bit every now and again. But it's true. Like, I am like so in awe of you. And just the other thing that I was thinking about, which is the last thing that I just wanted to touch on, was when we decided to set up the podcast, like, how did you feel about that? Because, you know, that is literally all verbal. So it's all about words and communication. So, yeah, how did you feel about it?
I'm not gonna lie, it was a bit scary at the beginning. It was a bit like, oh, I'm having to like speak and loads of people are gonna hear me talk. What if I get something wrong? And then I thought to myself, if that happens, it's a learning curve. We move. It's not the end of the world. It is a learning opportunity. And again, going back to that stir fry at moment, it was a learning opportunity and it doesn't happen again. So it's one of them. Is the Pope Catholic? I now know if somebody says that, that means it's a definite yes. So yeah, it's a learning curve and it's all about trial and error. Sometimes, you know, many times where we've been recording and I've got something wrong and we've had to pause, recollect ourselves and then go again. So I guess with technology as well, we're so lucky we're in this era where technology is literally at our fingertips. So yeah, it helps massively.
Well, I am so glad that it didn't stop you and it didn't prevent you from wanting to go on this journey with me, because I wouldn't have been able to do it with anybody else. But okay, I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop being soppy today. But I would also say that, yes, there are times where, you know, like you say, we might have stopped or edited or done whatever we've done. But I do also think that it's really key that we want, you know, we always want to bring to you, our listeners, the authenticity and bring our full selves to these episodes. And, you know, with Ray and I, there's not really a lot of fluffing it up. We are what we are. And I think that for us, representation is key as well. So the fact that there will be some listeners there who exactly the same position as you, possibly the same age as you, have gone through a similar journey, that actually it's okay that we're not picture perfect, we're not a finished polished product, but actually the most important thing is the message that we're trying to spread, to share. And if we have a little star fry in between every now and again, so be it.
That is so true. Indeed we're all here for positivity, for growth, for development. So it's all about building that confidence. So don't get scared or don't get put off if things don't necessarily go right with regards to your language and how you speak and how you talk. It is a learning process. You will pick it up and it's going to be absolutely fine.
Yes. Well, thank you for your words of wisdom, and just telling us a bit about your story. And it's been an absolute gem of an evening to have just little old you and I on the pod tonight. But yeah, thank you so much. And for any listeners who, obviously you've always got our different socials in footnotes of the episode, so if you do want to check out more about Ray and all that she's doing, or you've got any questions, queries, or just want to share your thoughts or how you found the episode, do just drop her a message, giving you permission on her behalf. But I know that she'll be willing and able to respond to you and to get back to you, and is always there as kind of an ear or a helping hand. So on that note, we're going to leave you. Thank you for listening to today's episode.
So that's a wrap on today's episode. We hope you enjoyed it and that you gained something positive from listening in. Whether that be you gained a new perspective, got some tips and tricks to motivate and inspire you, or it's just made you smile. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and leave a review so that you don't miss any upcoming episodes, and so we can bring you more of the content that you love. Until next time, stay blessed, wear that crown with pride, and keep shining.